Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Premier League Preview Show, the Football Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. How you all doing, everybody? It's Friday. It's nearly the weekend. It's nearly Christmas as well. And I'm Marcus Speller. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And Petey Donaldson's here.
Silent night.
Anymore?
I feel like you should have warned us you were going to do that.
We're walking in the air.
That's a different song.
It's like Christmas mega mix with Pete Donaldson.
Come on, everybody.
It's less of the mega. It's a mixer, yeah. Right? I don't personally find
mediocre
it a mega
mix.
One.
It's Pete Donaldson's Christmas mixer. Join us.
Will it be a silent night in Mourinho's house?
There's a chance.
Eventually.
When the champagne corks stop popping.
I think it'll be punctuated by some crying.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Mourinho's gone.
Yeah.
Goodness me.
He has.
Where's Mourinho's?
With any other manager, it wouldn't be a surprise, but it still sort of is.
Yeah.
Because he feels invincible, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you mentioned him crying. I think he's going to be really pleased not to deal with those players anymore. He's had a terrible time with them.
But it will be a bruise to his ego, though. You've got to
know. Absolutely.
And that
especially
man is hewn from
Chelsea.
Ego.
Yeah, he is hewn from ego. I think, for one, I'm very, very grateful that we got a bit of breaking news just before we came on air.
Doesn't normally happen.
No, it normally happens at the precise moment we leave the studio.
We have to do 1,000 shows a week.
To a man, though, we all go, oh, we're not going back in and doing it. we'll have what's called a long run up at it next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
No hot takes from the Football Ramble. I mean, thank goodness for the Bet365 Football Ramble Premier League preview, because we wouldn't have been able to talk about this
until Monday,
Tuesday.
I heard a strange thing about Chelsea's policy with sacking managers, which is that they keep paying them until they find another job, which is really strange. You could just hang around London.
Can that be true?
That's something I read. It was in The Guardian too.
Are you suggesting that is in addition to the compensation they get for being fired?
No, I'm not sure if that is in fact instead of it, or that was just something I read in a national newspaper.
He's going to have a lovely Christmas.
Yeah, he's going to have a brilliant old time.
No motivation to find another job, is there? What's the point?
Hang around London, destabilising other managers, just standing outside Arsene Wenger's house, just staring in through the window.
What's he doing?
Destabilising other managers just with your very presence. Yeah. The fact that you exist as a human being.
And who's the voyeur now?
What presents is he going to give them?
Yeah, who knows? It's that time of year. Do you want to, as the resident Arsenal fan, make any sort of comment about the specialist in failure type comment that was made a few short months ago?
No, it's because I've already done it and he's just lived up to it, hasn't he?
I just think I've been enjoying Chelsea this season.
Well, that's
every Premier League supporter is going, oh, come on, we're enjoying that.
Mm. Well, I'll tell you what, but you might still get a little bit of enjoyment because they're at home to Sunderland this weekend.
Mm.
And Big Sam loves a little shindig himself, doesn't he?
You know what, though? Sam Allardyce has never won a Premier League game against Mourinho, and I was looking at that one thinking, this could be the one. Like, if ever there's a time, this is going to be it, because players were extra motivated against Chelsea because they knew they could get something, which is one of those weird, horrible, sort of vicious cycles that teams in that situation find themselves in. But now, I just think those players are going to be so relieved to, you know, if the dressing room was as bad as it looked like it was, Sunderland could get an absolute hammering this weekend.
What was your stat about Sam Allardyce has not what?
I don't think he's beaten Mourinho in the Premier League, has he?
Did he not? His West Ham side, was that him? Was that to Allardyce?
I don't think he has beaten him in the Premier League. I don't think.
No, West Ham was this season,
sure.
Isn't it?
I'm almost certain that Sunderland were the first team to beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge under Mourinho, so that might be the case a few seasons ago.
Sorry, no. I'm thinking of Danny Welbeck's goal all that time ago when he was on loan at Sunderland, because I know that Sunderland beat them at the Bridge then, but I'm not sure who was in charge.
Well, I'm interested, as always, when it comes to this sort of stuff, when a manager leaves his position, clearly we're going to have some sort of like caretaker for this weekend. I mean, as far as I'm aware, they haven't appointed Gus Hiddink in time for this game,
an
if
actual
at all.
Caretaker, why yeah. not? Eva Carneiro, anyone. But
that would be great.
Well, Diego Costa's supposed to be the most popular guy in the dressing room. He reckons himself, so he might just pop up.
Hands up, who likes me?
I am so unsurprised that he said that. It's unreal. Yeah, he probably threatened to fight anyone who didn't agree with him. But Bet365 are ranking Chelsea a 1-4 shot to beat Sunderland this weekend. So £10 on that only yields you a £2.50 profit. So they're clearly very confident that Chelsea can do the business against a Sunderland side who clearly have struggled. But they had those two back-to-back wins, didn't they? Just a few short weeks ago against Crystal Palace and then Stoke. Yeah. And then followed that up with a disastrous result against Watford, really. But, I mean, as we've said a week or two before, Marcus, I was wanting to ask you about this because you're the one who sort of joined me in saying this. Do we think that people are still looking at Chelsea as an opportunity now Mourinho's gone?
I think you have to, don't you? But I do take your point, though. I wonder if they get the players... They clearly weren't getting on with Mourinho, or a lot of the players weren't, so will they get a bit more of a spring in their step? But if they do... Does that not look really bad on the players?
I think
players?
It does, yeah.
I often think that obviously Mourinho hasn't done too well, and I understand that working for under a manager, you know, he was harsh to Canero, and the players, you know, if it's a popular person, you know what it's like in any workplace. If someone's harsh to a popular person unnecessarily so, you think, well, I'm not going to work for you or not work very hard. But do it for yourself. Do it for the fans who are cheering you on. If the players suddenly start performing, well, the fans think, oh, we got the players back. And they think, hang on, where did they go?
Yeah. These big athlete-shaped babies.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
It's true, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
It is about their heads more than their ability. You know, these are ridiculously expensive footballers who know exactly how to play football very well. But it just seemed that as soon as the Premier League was out of sight and they couldn't get anything there, they just thought, well, I'll try in the Champions League, but nowhere else, to be honest.
What do you guys think about the timing of the sacking of him? Because for me, it's interesting that they've waited this long. If they were going to... It's either a case of they genuinely are worried that they could do the unthinkable and have a real relegation scrap on their hands, which to me is still a little bit fanciful.
Can we at some point entertain the idea at length, though? Yeah, well, even if in private.
I think we all have been for the last hour or so, do you know? But the other thing is about it is that if you're going to do that, why not do it when they were having a little think about it beforehand? I think it was ahead of the Norwich game where they had a little think about it and they came out. So even if he gets beaten by Norwich, he's still going to stay.
And the international break as well. A number of weeks ago.
They must just be taking a good old run up at the Champions League. They must be sort of thinking, let's get someone in earlier. Let's get him working with the team over the Christmas break. You're not going to get anything out of the league. We're probably not going to get relegated. So let's just have a real crack at the Champions League.
That's going to be tough, though.
It is going to be very tough. But, you know.
Someone needs to make the point as well, and I guess it might as well be me, that interim managers do very well at Chelsea. Di Matteo, Hiddink. Who's the other one who did well?
Rafa Benitez.
Benitez,
well,
of course.
I did think to myself that if Benitez gets sacked from Real Madrid...
So unpopular.
They could swap over.
It would be
absolutely
stunning. Never has a man delivering a European trophy, a bona fide European trophy, to a club who hasn't got a huge illustrious history, but so unpopular.
It's ridiculous.
Because he wants
this is something he didn't actually say,
and he didn't actually say it a long time ago.
Incredible,
nuts,
incredible.
Isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah, that game against Paris Saint Germain, basically all their dignity sort of riding on that. But I'm sort of hoping that none of the Chelsea fans will get into the stadium because the Parisians will just line the metro going, no, you're not coming in because of the colour of your shirt.
But what do you think? What do you think? Is Big Sam got a big Cheshire grin, like ear to ear? Cheshire cat
big
smile.
Sam was saying, I think Sam will be a bit gutted about it.
Right, because he would like to have had the scalp.
Yeah, because he's got... Yeah. I think because he's just joined a new club, pretty much, I think he would have liked to have been in the frame for it.
Oh, yeah. I took it too early. Yeah. Big Brian McDermott's taking the red in job. He's kicking himself.
Best day of his life.
No, and then the worst because Chelsea become available.
Oh, it's such a roller coaster being Brian McDermott.
Yeah. I think old Allardyce, he said earlier that he was quite sad to see Jose because he said, oh, I've got to know him quite well and all this kind of stuff. And I thought, where's the smile? Where's that big grin? But Mourinho said actually Allardyce was one of the harder managers to play against in the Premier League because he didn't always set up in the same formation.
I think Allardyce, chiefly by us, gets quite a bad rap because he's genuinely quite an innovative type of tactician.
Oh, absolutely. At a certain level.
Yeah, but what I mean by that is he's I guess to clarify it further, as a reactive manager, he's very, very strong. So he knows how to set a team up against a team better than them.
Which is why he wouldn't be. I know this sounds funny saying this, but he wouldn't be the worst shout for England manager
I mean, international football is all about playing to the strengths that your team has. Yeah. And the players England have played to the strengths that Allardyce can play well.
People forget, quite early on in his Premier League career, he adopted things like those cryogenic freezes. Things. He was one of the first.
That was for himself.
He's actually 125.
No, that was genuinely.
I know what you mean, but I don't know if cryogenic freezing chamber is the right term.
He was definitely cryogenic.
That's how they fixed Jamie Vardy really quickly recently. Yeah.
What, putting the players' brains in when they're not playing?
You get in there. They're one of those machines that if you're in there for like a minute, you will die. So you can do 7 seconds and it helps. It's like an ice bath. It's like a really futuristic ice bath.
Is there a failsafe alarm?
He's a surprisingly progressive manager from the way he carries himself.
Where's Jamie Vardy? We left him there. Oh, Gordon.
Hello. Is that the chairman?
He's been sold to Jabba the Hutt.
I got some bad news.
Relevant because of Star Wars this week, Jim.
All the players are dead. What are you fucking doing? You've only been in there a minute.
Exactly. You can't say I'm not innovative. You've only been there 22 minutes.
Yeah. We're down to the youth.
We are down to the youth.
Don't tell Mourinho that. He hates the youth.
Of today.
Before we move on from Chelsea, one quick point I wanted to make, and it's worth talking about, I think, is that these managers that have been linked with the club, and I know Hiddink is possibly going to come in on an interim basis, but a manager like Guardiola who might come in and manage Chelsea. Now, I don't think he will, but if he did, the interesting thing is, with Guardiola, is that the Premier League is by far the least tactical of all the top leagues in Europe, I would say. Mm. And he is the most tactical manager.
He'd clean up.
Do you reckon? I reckon he might struggle.
I don't know.
It's not struggle, but find it harder than perhaps people are expecting.
Possibly, yeah. I think that the level is not necessarily at the top in compared to Europe's top leagues, but I think the mid-table teams are perhaps a bit more consistently strong than in certain other leagues.
Yeah, fair point.
But I think with City, when you look at the players like David Silva, like Aguero, like Samir Nasri, like Jesus Navas that they have there, they're not a million miles away from the kind of players that he's had at Barcelona and the kind of players he's had at Bayern. They're more similar to the players he likes than those of other top clubs. So I think City and him are the best fit.
Because Chelsea likes big, Mourinho likes big, strong players.
Very quick
likes
sort of
and hard working defensive.
Like Willian and Ramirez.
Exactly, yeah. So I think that's probably fair, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, more chat about football and that after this.
Hi, I'm Frank Leboeuf. You're listening to the Football Ramble. Football Ramble.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the preview show, sponsored by Bet365. It's the Football Ramble, of course, in your ears. Chelsea, yeah, I mean, just... Mourinho, he's away, and it's quite remarkable, really. Should we talk about some other matches?
Yeah, why not? You can't dominate everything.
Yeah.
I imagine they'll still do them, so why not?
He's probably lobbying the FA now. You sure you definitely have to do it without me? And you don't have to if you don't want to.
Well, the team they sort of seem to have swapped places with this season are Leicester.
Yes.
And Leicester away to Everton. And it is a big one for Leicester. They beat Chelsea last time round, of course. And this is the period of games where people thought, oh, Leicester, if they can get through that, then we'll talk about titles or top four. And away to Leicester is a very tricky game. Leicester, though, you just wouldn't put it past them, Jim.
Everton are at home, aren't they?
They are at home. Yeah.
See, this is a really, really interesting matchup because I think there's now they've beaten Chelsea and they've shown that they can do it time and time again. Jamie Record's got that. Jamie Vardy's got that record off his back. Although, weirdly, he's actually maintaining one because he got an assist in the game he didn't score and he's, I think, scored or assisted in the game since. So he's still, I think he's... I think he's either already holding or set to equal the longest run of goals and assists in a game. So he's still tearing it up in his own Jamie Vardy way.
But you can have that record will go on because he'll have the most goals and assists by a bloke called Jamie.
Indeed. But that monkey's sort of off their back a little bit. That narrative has gone. And so now I think they've passed so many tests that Everton away in particular, I feel like there's more pressure on them than this forever because people are going, all right, you've got some credentials. Let's see if you can handle it now that we're actually... backing you a little bit, and that's a different thing. And Everton, they look fantastic. Like Lukaku's scored in, I think, six
Premier League, and seven including the Capital One Cup. So
imagine
it's crazy.
Chase it down this season.
He's only like three or four games away from taking. Imagine if it's broken twice in one season.
Absolutely incredible, wouldn't it?
But did you not think that like Evans a little bit poor at the back? You look at someone like Stones, who likes to mess around with the ball a little bit.
Yeah,
can you imagine someone nipping him behind that? He might get caught out.
You make
a
good point there,
goals.
Pete. Yeah. I mean, they've got two decent centre-backs, Jagielka and Stones, but actually, if you can stop Everton playing the ball out from the back, then that's where the pressure comes from. So it's interesting you say that because, well, I kind of love the fact that there's an English centre-back, a young English centre-back, who wants to dribble the ball out from the back. And and Martinez is obviously encouraging that as well.
He reminds me of Rio Ferdinand when he was just breaking through.
Yeah, I can see
a good
that.
Ball playing footballer.
I actually thought Stones was a little bit overhyped for a while. I think people go over the top because English players don't come through of that quality that often. And I think he gets way too much praise. But then he is sort of growing and improving week by week. And he does look almost like an established figure now. I felt it happen with Barkley as well. I thought Barkley was hugely overhyped for a while. Mm-hmm. Just for the sheer volume of times he gives the ball away. I mean, and he is improving that part of his game. But I actually think Leicester are a bit overpriced for this game. I mean, they're an absolutely tremendous nick, clearly, because they're top of the league. They haven't lost a game since they played Arsenal.
Which now seems absolutely massive.
Yeah, it's a great result. Yeah.
Delighted with that in retrospect.
And that indeed is the only game they've actually lost. And 13-5 on them with Bet365 to beat Everton, even though it is at Everton. So £10 on that returns you £36, so a £26 profit. I think that's quite a big price, really.
People are just waiting for the wheels to fall off for Leicester. But the thing about, everyone's talking about the title chance for Leicester. We've looked at the form before. People who are at top at this point and are playing as well as they are, they're not. They don't often finish outside the top two. So we could be looking at Leicester in the Champions League next year, and I think that's possibly a bigger story than what we're talking about with the title, because they're probably not going to win the title, but in the Champions League, Leicester.
I think absolutely. The only thing that could happen in terms of the title that would outshine that is possibly Arsenal winning the league, because I don't want it for such a long time.
Yeah,
but if Man City and Leicester coming like third or something.
Oh, right, of course. Yeah,
if Man City or Man United win the league, you know, Leicester is finishing third. It's a far bigger achievement.
You're absolutely right. If Man United won the league, of course, it would be an amazing turnaround from Louis van Gaal in terms of changing minds and attitudes towards him, perhaps. Even if he won it in a boring style.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, if, say, let's look ahead and think, you know, Leicester do manage to get in the Champions League, they're going to keep Mahrez and Vardy. I think they might struggle to keep Mahrez if they don't, because he's already said like he'll definitely stay until the end of the season, which sounds like bad news dressed up as good news.
But why would you leave though? If they get in the Champions League,
well, that's
why
what I mean. Yeah, I don't think he would. But what's interesting in the shorter term is you wonder what they can do in January. You know, I mean, there's so many. There's a different level of player available to them if they
would
do
you,
want to
would
sort
you
of
upset
up
that apple cart?
I was about to say, Jim. Oh, yeah, indeed. Now, I'm glad you said that, because what I love about this Leicester City team and the reaction to them, it's the first time in a long while where absolutely everybody would want them to win the league, and it's the great underdog thing. Now, I know a lot of people wanted Liverpool to win the league when they had Suarez and Sturridge firing on all cylinders, and I know a fair few people wanted Mourinho's Chelsea to win it when he was in charge first, but you have to go all the way back to Keegan's Newcastle.
Yeah.
And what was the mistake he made? You could argue
bringing in Espria. I'm not having this. Right. This is reductivist at best. I'm not having this.
Okay.
It was not Faustino Asprey's fault.
You poked him. Pavel Cernicek's fault for not winning them games like Peter Schmeichel.
Yeah, that's the problem.
The way I see it is that with Leicester at the moment, it's a bit like playing blackjack. So Leicester have got, say, 17 now, and they don't know whether to twist or not.
Yeah, that's a good
point.
And
they don't know what the guys next to them are going to do.
Yeah.
They're playing blackjack, and they're first on the dealer's table. So they don't know what the next lot are going to do. Mm. And it's a huge decision. Probably it'll be the biggest decision of Ranieri's reign in January. about whether to sign a player or not, depending on who it is. Because at the moment, and I don't want to take anything away from what Ranieri's done, because he's done an amazing job, but that team is playing with such confidence. He hasn't had to make any changes. I think I'm right in saying...
Given the work Nigel Pearson did.
Yeah, well, he set the foundations, Jim. Yeah, and probably buried a couple of bodies in there as well while he was at it. But the reason I make this point about Ranieri is because he had a reputation as this tinker man, as we all know. And I think he's made... at least up there with some of the fewest managerial personnel changes that anyone has made in the Premier League. So he hasn't actually had to do an awful lot yet. It'll be great to see, and it won't be great for Leicester fans, but it'd be great to see what he would do if Vardy and or Mahrez got injured and how they get on with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think they should get Nigel Pearson's son back?
Absolutely not. Strange question.
All right, boys, I'm back.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, the worry with a character like Pearson is that he is still in the stadium somewhere. Maybe in the foundations, using it like a set.
If you do think about that situation with Pearson's son, that kind of started the ball rolling. Balls were involved. Started the ball rolling with Nigel Pearson getting pushed out the club, and you could very much lay the success of Leicester to what happened abroad.
You're saying he's the real hero.
Yeah.
Man United. Norwich. Any interest in that?
Yeah, it's a theory. Yeah. And I fear, Peter, for your sake, it will remain a theory until you publish some kind of book about it.
It'll be my thesis.
Well, Pearson wouldn't be a million miles away from the Newcastle job if McLaren went, though, would he?
Well, he's worked there before.
Exactly, that's what I mean, yeah.
His hair looks like the kit as well, which you've liked in the
past. Something to think about.
Yeah.
Well, Manchester United, they are at home to Norwich. And they've not been... 1-0 Man United, I'm thinking.
All over it. All over
own goal, Man United 1-0. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, because
6-1 on Bet365, by the way.
Right?
Yeah. Norwich are having a bit of a tough time, aren't they? I mean, they are not faring particularly well out of all the
promoted slipped under the radar a bit, haven't they?
Yeah. But I mean, you sort of expect them to not do particularly well because they've just come up. But I think they've only kept one clean sheet all season, which suits Man United at home right now, doesn't it?
I mean, they aren't. I mean, obviously they're in the relegation zone, only 1 point behind the champions.
Look at another.
Let's just keep it going as long as we can.
Imagine Alex Neil walks in on Old Trafford on the morning of the game. Good news, chaps. 1 point's beyond the champions. Yeah. Keep it up.
Imagine that. They're in the relegation zone. The manager's saying, right, well, you've got your year review coming up. Before you go on, if somebody would have said to you, you'll be 1 point behind the champions at Christmas.
You'd have taken it.
Yeah. But did you get that in writing, Alex? That's what Delia will be saying.
Yeah. Norwich,
I hope he reports to Delia.
Norwich have conceded fewer goals than Newcastle, Bournemouth, Sunderland and Villa, but you're right. They tend to concede in pretty much every game. They've only won one of their last 10, I think, and that was against a very, very poor Swansea side who have been in free fall for a while.
This actually could be a pretty
handy time. But United don't score, do they?
But this could be handy timing for them. It could be a chance for them to actually rack it up if they can find a bit of fluidity up front.
It's true, Jim. It is very true. What about Arsenal at home to Manchester City? That's a biggie, Jim.
It is a big one.
It's a real big one because...
It's a thigh rubber.
It is a thigh rubber. I mean, Manchester United,
it's
Norwich...
It's a clack clacker.
Everton versus Leicester is a chin stroker, as we established before.
Whereas... I don't know. I think there's definitely...
I think that's
a belly
thigh rubber as well.
I think a belly rubber.
I'm calling it thigh rubber. Everton, Leicester. It's a thigh rubber, isn't it?
One and on the thigh, one on the nip.
Okay. That good, huh?
Yeah.
I think from now on we should definitely refer to Pete, because I think that that shows he is the authority on that.
Yeah.
But Arsenal, Man City, if Arsenal can win that, Jim,
absolutely,
then jingle bells, you're in with the title shield.
Indeed. We have a pretty good record against City at home, he said, cursing it forever. I look at this and think, could be a draw.
I was going to say, I remember a draw Arsenal getting at home, is that... Yeah, considered a good history?
Well, I think we've only lost to them once in, I think, ever in the Premier League at home.
Well, that's if that's the case.
Well,
that's
I was there when it was a 2-0 loss. Arsenal lost 2-0, and that was the whole £62 business.
Yeah. So maybe that stat's wrong, but there's some very surprisingly impressive stat from Arsenal at home against City. We certainly they've done all right with them recently. We're not conceding a lot. I think it's 11 in 20 games at home in the Premier League, and City's away form isn't great, but that is exactly what I don't trust because I don't think they've scored in their past three away games, which is not like them. Aguero's back and Toure's back as well, so that's going to give them a lot more.
So the last two games between these two sides, just checking at the Emirates, have been draws, and before that they lost at home 2-0 to them.
That was the £62
one.
Right,
yeah,
but the season before that they beat them 1-0. So, that, I mean, it's a bit of a mixed bag.
So it's
ancient history now,
indeed. But it's as inconsistent as this season has been, isn't it? But it could go either way.
But, Jim, I'm surprised you haven't brought this up, so I'll just give you a quick reminder, because you've said that you've been a big supporter of the theory that Man City can be got at by being attacked.
Yes.
And Arsenal at home, that plays perfectly into their...
Yeah, Arsenal will do that, whoever's coming to town.
But do you not think there's a fair chance that Man City could crumble under pressure from Arsenal, given the players they've got out in terms of Vincent Kompany particularly, I'm thinking?
Arsenal have a lot of players out, but is this time for Joel Campbell to really do it against one of the big boys?
Joel Campbell is a player who presses hard and works hard, and that's what we've got to do against City. We've got to press them and sort of hem them in a little bit. And obviously, Flamini has to be disciplined rather than just running around Flaminying whatever he likes, which is a really sort of important thing. And one of the things I'm worried about is the temptation to bring Alexis Sanchez back too soon and breaking
Wenger loves
him forever.
Wenger loves damaging his players.
Don't even put him on the bench. Apparently he's been running, but he's not been training. Not enough. Leave him at home. Chain him up. He'll want to play.
That's the problem. It's a perfect storm. He wants to play every single game.
Yeah.
Wenger wants to play him every single game. Someone's got to take a grip of him. If I could say one thing to Arsene Wenger, it probably wouldn't be this, but for the purposes of a conversation, I would say stop running Alexis Sanchez into the damn ground.
Do the fans need to get Wenger and Sanchez in the same room and go, we think this is best?
At the risk of sounding a bit like a conspiracy theorist as well, I also think Pellegrini is hugely tempted to bring Kompany back for that game on Monday. Mm. And I don't know if he'll be fully fit already. Mm. And I think Kompany, the type of character he is and the captain, he'll want to play. And that could be an area they could target regardless of who's back.
It's also very true. With all the Guardiola news, you wonder how that's going to affect the players. Because, the rumours that he's going to take over at City next season, which are pretty loud.
Do those City players need an excuse to not try?
Well, absolutely. They've got one, even though they don't.
They do have one. One of the Premier League's more entertaining sides this season has been Watford.
It has.
Yes.
And they're at home to Liverpool, who hopefully will become more entertaining under Jurgen Klopp. But we've seen flashes of
absolutely.
Certainly. But is that a chin stroker?
I think that is...
You're stroking your chin now, Jim.
I'm holding my chin.
It's a chin holder.
I think that's a perfect distance between thigh rubber and chin stroker.
It's a thought cup.
Let's defer to the expert.
Peter.
Well, directly in between the thigh and the chin... It's the nip-nips again, Alfred.
Oh, okay. So
are you just going to say it's nipples every time?
Nip-nips.
Yeah. Are we going to have to take your privileges away?
He's been trying to think of a way to shoehorn nipples in here for quite some time.
All right, what's the breastbone then?
Sternum. It's a solar plexus of a game.
Yeah, that's how you wake people up. If they collapse, you've got to rub their sternum. It's very painful, apparently.
Good to know.
Yeah,
all right.
Good to know.
It's always educational on the football ramble. But Watford at home to Liverpool. Watford in good shakes. Liverpool in and out of form. Do we think Ighalo and Deeney are going to run riot?
Well, Watford have won their last three Premier League games in a row, and that's great form. And they won't see anything at Liverpool to be scared of, given that Liverpool were abject against Newcastle and they couldn't really get anything going. Mm. It'll be a fascinating one. I don't know. I think Watford will win this game, you know. I really do. I think they're playing with confidence. And part of the reason I think this is because when you come up into the Premier League, it's such a slog to get up there. It takes you such a long time. Watford were knocking on the door for a while since they were relegated the last time. They finally come up. It's a 46-game season to do it. And these sorts of games are the games you really want to play.
And
those players will be... Someone like Troy Deeney, who's a guy who's sort of got his own sort of personal rags-to-riches story, he's turned his life around. He will be relishing this game. Mm. And I think they might just want it a bit more.
And they're only 4 points off a Champions League spot. So if they're after
and
that,
they can see Leicester doing it. So
Leicester are giving
Leicester
those guys this
Watford.
Amazing sort of smoke screen. Yeah. It's brilliant.
Imagine if Leicester and Watford and Crystal Palace in the top four.
In the top four. Two of them, because they would say, which of the promoted sides are going to go straight back down? Which of the promoted sides are going to get in the top four?
Which of the champions are going to go down?
I'd love to hear what the against modern football mob will be saying then if those three are in the Champions League.
Absolutely right. But our bet of the week involves Watford.
Yeah, we're going to go to Watford for our bet of the week. We're going to talk about the fact that we all think, I'm not taking the responsibility on my own here.
No, certainly not.
We think Watford are going to win, but we think there might be goals. So a great bet, in our opinion, is both teams to score and Watford to win at 15-2. So £50 stake returns £425, so £375 profit. That's where our money's going this week. You have to be over the age of 18 to bet and you must gamble responsibly. And for more information on responsible gambling, go to gambleaware.co.uk.
Marvellous stuff, Luke. That's all we've got time for, chaps. Oh, I believe we've got time to plug our own Christmas special party.
Christmas party?
Yes. It's a special party.
Well, yeah, it was. It was a lovely time was had by all. Yeah.
Yes. Where can the listeners go to
they
get this?
They can go to iTunes, mm-hmm. And you can also go to our website, can't you? Get it through an alternative source.
Yeah. If you're not an iTunes user, you can go to thefootballramble.com and it's there. You can pay by PayPal. It's £2.49. Well over an hour of exclusive Christmas content, ad free, of course. Mm-hmm. So get yourself over to iTunes or thefootballramble.com to download mm-hmm. that and have yourself a blooming festive time as well.
Mm. A lot of chats about Kevin Keegan. Dear. Mm-hmm.
Kevin Keegan's diary that Pete excellently delivered was well received, Pete. Mm. You must be delighted with that. You've got a Christmas jumper on now at the moment, actually.
I have got a Christmas jumper on at the moment.
Yeah, it's well worth a turn of the head. There we are. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
See you later.
And have a lovely weekend.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.